What's Up Headlines.
Yeah, as Beetle just mentioned, some breaking news in the NBA. The Cavs have announced that Tyronn Lue is stepping away from coaching the team for the time being for health reasons. Associate head coach Larry Drew set to take over in Cleveland.
You sure it's not LeBron?
He did leave the game second half the other night due to what they were describing as illness, and it's the second time this year that he had missed time due to illness.
Apparently he's got some chest pains he's dealing with right now. It was a tough night for the Celtics in New Orleans last night. Boston falling 108-89. Anthony Davis, 34 points, 11 rebounds for the Pelicans. Celtics back at it tomorrow when they take on the Thunder. Another tough test for the Bruins tonight as they take on the Blue Jackets. Columbus comes into this one winners of 7 in a row. Bruins have also made a move leading up to this game, signing Ryan Donato to a 2-year entry-level deal. The Harvard product expected to be in uniform tonight. He's going to wear number 17, and you can catch that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call with coverage beginning at 6:30. And the Patriots have acquired wide receiver and kick return specialist Cordarrelle Patterson from the Raiders. New England sending a 5th-round pick to Oakland and getting a 6th-rounder back in return. Sports Up Headlines brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning with over 50 trucks on the road because your clogged drain is their emergency. Go to johnsewer.com. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston Silver Sports, 98.5 The Sports Up. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports. They work.
Matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on this Monday. Couldn't help but notice on Twitter that Tom Brady keeps popping up everywhere. His media tour is continuing, Zo. Fake laugh Tom Brady is all over the place. Including NPR. You listen to a lot of NPR, Zo?
I didn't know what that was today.
No, yes you did.
I did.
Stop it.
I could care less what NPR is.
Yeah. And now the game where we ask famous people about obscure things is called Not My Job. Our guest on this week's show has an uplifting story. He was never a very gifted athlete growing up. He had a spotted college career when he had to share the starting spot at a school with another quarterback, and he went 199th in the NFL draft back in 2000. But despite all that, he's made something of himself. Quarterback Tom Brady of the 5-time world champion New England Patriots, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
That's Tom Brady on the show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me what?
That's the name of the show.
That's the name of the show?
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Because there are quizzes involved. There are quizzes here. Mm. So, first of all, Brady,
cool concept.
Why is Brady there? Why do you think he's there?
Oh, I think he's pushing the TB12 method in the book.
He's no longer pushing Tom versus time. That already happened.
Right, that's
which
done.
Is why I think this entire tour has been more about the method in the book. Here it is.
I want to talk to you, obviously, about your book, The TB12 Method. You are now a New York Times best-selling author, which is exciting. Does that make you want to give up sports and go, like, into the literary world?
I know. For a C student, that's not too bad.
No.
English. It was really cool to do. You know, I felt I had so many experiences I've learned from over the years as an athlete. And I wanted to be able to share those with the next generation of athletes and people that always come up to me and they go, Tom, what do you do? And I don't have, 30 seconds to tell them. So now I can say, go buy the book. I wrote a book. It's 290 pages.
I wrote a book. Go read it. Pay me my money and read my book.
Go buy the book.
It's Tom Brady plugging the book. So that's what this is all about. This is about him plugging all of his brands. Spending some time doing some PR for the brands this offseason. This next clip that we have of this, so has nothing to do really with anything other than listen to the guy's name who asks the question, who's a part of this show on NPR.
This is Tom Burette. Tom, hi.
Hi, Tom.
From the hotel thing.
That's it. That's yes. it. Motel 6, we yes. nailed it. I don't even think we need to hear the rest
yes.
of it.
I
just want to know. You know, like, I'm feeling inspired
right
here, you know, right now. And so if I'm 63 years old, not all that athletic, would the TB12 method kill me? Or would I get some benefit from it?
I think you'd get some benefit. I think it's got benefit for everybody. So check it out. I think you'll like it.
But Tom,
check it out by the book.
This is a medical question. You seem to be getting younger.
Hello.
Whose blood are you drinking?
I'm a vampire.
Mo Rocca is the guy from I Love the 90s, right? That stuff?
Yeah.
That's what I remember him from. Tom asked me, who's Mo Rocca? I said, I think he works with CBS, but... I remember from like those shows sitting there, one of those observational guys talking about what happened.
I was going to say, didn't Mo Rocca do like NFL pregame for a while?
I thought he did
he
a little bit
his.
Of chink in my life.
No, no, that's Lou Bega. I mean, he did the Daily Show back when. I think Love just fell out of his chair. I didn't see him.
Lou
Bega
and Tom Burette asking questions.
Did you just fall out of your chair? He's laughing so hard, I think he just fell out of his chair.
Shut up.
He did.
We just played Lou Bega a couple months ago. He did the version of...
Alex Cora. Hey, Kelly. Pedroia.
He did the version of Give It Up by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
He did? I don't remember that.
So that was Mo Rocca.
Wow. What is Brady doing? You know what he's doing? He's branching
talking about
out.
Nightshades, bro. Nightshades.
Branching out to
very
every...
specific diet. In fact, you don't eat such terrible junk foods as tomatoes. Because they're nightshade family, and that's not bad for you, according to Tom and his philosophy.
No, I didn't say it's bad for you. Please.
All right.
Don't sick the tomato people on him.
Yeah.
That's right. Look, if you love tomatoes, eat tomatoes. It's, you know, everyone's got one life. They should live it and enjoy it.
Yeah, die young. Eat all the tomatoes you want.
Exactly. Fine.
Exactly.
You're going around. You're talking about your book and the TB12 method. We saw that you ate a strawberry for what we were told was the first time in your life. Or
it was. It was.
That's first of all, how do you avoid strawberries growing up?
Well, that was the problem. When I grew up in California, and I had an aunt that lived in Central California, and when she'd drive up to see us, she would stop at the fruit stands on the side of the road, and she'd get these big trays of strawberries, and she'd bring them up to our house, and she would put them into our refrigerator. And every time the refrigerator door was open, the smell of strawberries would permeate the room, and I could not stand it. And since then, I've never eaten a strawberry. The thought of a strawberry is terrible for me. And the fact that I actually did it the other night, I couldn't believe it either. So that's what made it most surprising for me.
Yeah. And how did it taste after how many years?
Wake up, old people.
Hello, Brady.
Wake up, you old people in the back.
Brady's putting himself through this, though. He's getting railed on by this panel for the tomato thing. Like, he's just getting railed on. Like, these people think he's ridiculous. But you know what? You're Tom Brady, so you can come on our show.
Doesn't that reflect well on him, though? That he's willing to do it?
You know what, though? Based
on
everything
it's... Well, how, though? It reflects poorly that he's putting himself through this just to sell the book, doesn't it?
I think
it reflects well on him that he can go on
he's
and...
He's putting himself through getting ridiculed by Mo Rocca and Tom Burette just to sell his book.
And he did the same on Colbert.
And we're talking
a little bit bigger than
and we just did 15 minutes on it. And it's out there again.
All
in your
I know
face.
Is
I'm
your
not
head.
Saying it's not effective. I'm just face. Saying he's putting himself through
Hold
this
on.
To get ridiculed and just people are making fun of him.
Everything
on all these shows. That's what they're doing. They're making fun of Tom Brady.
Everything that he says
yes, they are.
You should question your convictions. You know, who are we doing this for? What are we doing it for? He said something there jokingly in the middle of that interview. Nobody picked up on it. He said you have one life to live. You should go live it. Never heard him say that before. He's telling you one hand, buy the book. Don't eat the nightshades.
Yeah.
But hey, tomato people, enjoy it. Pound it. Go get it. Go get your tomatoes. You have one life to live.
I think
enjoy
you're bringing
it.
Something up that's definitely a good question, though,
it's like
Jim.
In the back.
Does this reflect well or does it reflect poorly on Tom Brady? And are you as a Patriots fan at all bothered by him spending so much time dedicated to promoting his goods and his books and his brand and all that? We'll address that and also get to the quiz part of Wait, Don't Tell Me with Tom Brady because he got asked some questions and we're actually going to... I didn't hear this part. Jim specifically did not let us hear this part. It is trivia on the Brady Bunch. How good are you at Brady Bunch trivia?
Excellent. It was one of my favorite shows prior to Cheers when
so
Cheers
I
came out.
So I expect you to
I
go three
expert,
for three.
Expert on it.
Coming up next.
And more Lou Bega.
No lack of a threat.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the story of a man named Brady.
So, you are the most famous Brady alive, we would wager, but that's only because the classic TV show The Brady Bunch is no longer on the air. We're going to ask you three questions about the family sitcom that an entire generation watched because there was nothing else on TV. It was a dark time.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's a story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own.
Zoe's a big Brady Bunch guy.
I never understood that. They are four men living all together. What does four mean?
What do you mean four? There were four of them.
Oh.
There was Mike and the three boys.
I thought they said it was form.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
You're a big fan?
Big fan. I never thought of that. I mean, you don't think that stuff as a kid. You had the weird staircase, too.
They were foremen. Wide construction foremen.
They were foremen. Oh, a childhood drink. Yeah. So what do we got here?
Okay, we have three questions that Tom Brady was asked to answer about the Brady Bunch. You and I don't know what they are.
Okay.
So we're going to play the trivia along with Tom Brady. And you claim to be a big fan. I will say, what did Brady Bunch air on locally like 25 years ago?
I don't know.
Because I remember it being on a lot.
It's got like 38 or 56 written all over it, right?
I think it was 56.
Oh, yeah. Right after the Stooges.
Or 38. It was one of those. It was definitely one of those two stations.
I used to come home from school, and it would either be watch the Brady Bunch, Little Stooges, or the Little Rascals.
LVI or SBK. One of the two. One of those two stations had the Brady Bunch because it was on a lot.
It's probably Channel 56.
Was Nick at Night ever a Brady Bunch type of thing?
When did the TV Land network come out?
I don't know. But TV Land was basically like Nick at Night full time.
Yeah.
Is what it was. Okay, so let's get to it. Questions on the Brady Bunch for Tom Brady. Let's go.
Your first question. Robert Reed, the actor, played patriarch Mike Brady on the show, but he wasn't the producer's first choice for the role. Who was? A, Gene Hackman, who the network rejected for not being famous enough. B, Paul Lynde, who they thought exuded the quiet masculinity they wanted for America's Dad. Or C, J. Fred Muggs, the chimpanzee who used to co-host the Today Show back in the 50s.
It's Hackman.
It's easy, it's Hackman.
Totally Hackman.
Yeah, because the second guy just doesn't fit the part, and the other one's a monkey. So, I mean, you can't have the monkey. The monkey can't read. Maybe the monkey can. I don't know. The chimpanzee smoked a cigarette last week, and now we got a silverback that walks upright. It's going viral. These monkeys can do more. Don't let the monkey's smarter than he actually looks and acts. So, I'm going to go with Hackman.
Okay, Hackman.
But I'm more interested in, like, the on-air stuff. This is, like, behind-the-scenes, off-air stuff.
I'm all in on Hackman.
Oh, my God. But whenever I didn't know an answer in my multiple choice in high school, I said C. So, I'll guess.
You do understand that C is, in this case, an ape.
Yeah, the crowd is rioting.
Except for the Giants fans. They're happy.
Yeah, I want to change my answer. This is simple. B.
No, it was actually Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman, the stony, tough guy actor. But the network thought he wasn't famous enough. You have two more chances here.
Well, they actually gave him an easy... They answered it for him when they gave him the ABC. They told him B doesn't fit the actual character that we're looking for. And then the audience went hysterical over it. I mean, okay, it's not B. And then they said... C, alien. Softball. They gave him a softball.
All right, you guys won Brady Zero.
Yes, we beat Brady. Go ahead.
Many people don't remember this, but there was actually a sequel show in 1990 to the original Brady Bunch. It was called The Bradys,
yes.
And it was about the hijinks of the Brady's kids now that they were adults. Which of these was one of the real plot lines on that show? A, Peter reveals his passionate love for his stepsister, Cindy. B, Bobby's career as a race car driver is ended by a crash, which permanently paralyzes him.
That's it.
Or C, Marcia discovers that her late father was notorious Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy.
Oh, see, they made that easy.
Yeah.
It's B.
Yeah.
It's B.
Yeah.
Which seems absurd in and of itself, but the answer is
Bobby,
B.
Bobby was such a badass. Yeah, you know, you remember when he was...
Wait. That it's an obvious probably, but you seem like you know that from...
Yeah,
like,
no, I do. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
That was in the 90s.
Who doesn't?
It was like the reunion episode.
Serious?
Really?
No, yeah, you don't remember that?
No.
We're the weird guys.
We're the weird guys.
You and Tom there, they had these odd 10-year lapses in viewership.
I wouldn't remember it if I didn't hear it, but as soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was it. That's it.
I thought they were going to go like hall monitor or something.
Brings it all back.
Give me that one.
It brings it all back, Jim.
I need some help.
The Patriots fans are yelling B. Call the play, audience. What is it? They say B.
Well, B, I have to go with
you're right. It's that.
Brady is so into this. These are the questions they came up with over the entire Brady series. You know, like Marcia,
these aren't real trivia questions.
He's a football player, a quarterback. Marcia gets smacked in the face.
Yo, catch!
Was it a Peter that threw it? Who threw the ball and hit Marcia in the face?
Oh, no, my nose. Davy Jones is going to ask me to the prom.
Look like they had the hots for Davy Jones.
Davy Jones was a prominent figure.
Alice is in there making like a 30-pound meatloaf, like on the worst health food you could ever have. Like it's so anti everything Brady does. AstroTurf is a yard. Thindy with her lisp, all that stuff.
What's the last question? It's going to be another stupid one. I can't believe this. I thought we were going to get real trivia
here. Like real Brady trivia.
So your last question, Tom, here we go. Florence Henderson, who played Carol Brady, had a surprising connection to New York City politics. What was it? A, Mayor Bloomberg once attributed his diplomatic skill to Mrs. Brady's parenting style on the show. B, she ran for Queensborough president with the slogan, "Here's the story of a borough named Queens." Or C, she caught a sexually transmitted disease from Mayor John Lindsay.
Come on now. That's not right.
I'll go with A.
It sounds like it would be A. I don't think she ever got involved in politics. I'm going to go with A.
Oh, I need some help.
I think it's C, because I think that she ended up writing like sort of a saucy memoir. I believe that it's C.
In that case, without even thinking, I'll just say C.
You got it! Yes, thank you!
I cannot believe that.
She did, Tom. Let me just say, Tom, if you'd picked up the phone during the fourth quarter when I was calling...
Mo was exactly right. We know about this because she wrote a saucy memoir a few years before she died, in which she told that story, and she said that John Lindsay felt very bad and sent her some flowers to apologize. Bill, how did Tom Brady do on our quiz?
Wait, that actually happened? Oh, my God.
Yeah. This,
I guess I take back what I said.
Is this a normal thing, or is this just a panel put together for Brady?
No, I think it's like a rotating
crew. Oh, my God, I'd be out in 20 seconds if Brady wasn't on it. Who would go there in person to laugh as an audience member?
It was in Hartford, I think, right? It took place in Hartford.
I have no idea.
Was he on the phone?
He was on the phone.
I think the audience was in Hartford. I think the panel, they were all on a stage in Hartford.
Okay.
Those were actual people. That wasn't like a laugh track.
Are you embarrassed for Tom Brady for being a part of this? I'm not.
Yes.
I'm not.
No.
I have no problem with
pushing
doing
book
this
anywhere.
Stuff. I have no problem with this. His time.
I'd go to an old age home to push the book. You want to sell stuff.
You don't have $200 million in the bank, though.
It's all about the total dollar for you, isn't it, Jim? This is his next thing.
Yes, it is for me, and it would be for you, but it shouldn't be for Tom.
So he shouldn't subject himself to this. So you think he's total sellout? He's only doing it for the book, and I know that's the reason why he's going to be doing it, but you think he knows going in that he's going to be the butt of the jokes, that he's going to get made fun of, that he...
I don't know if he knew it,
knows
but he
that
sat
and
through
is willing
it
and
he put himself through it.
And you're upset that Tom Brady's capable of being made fun of. I think it reflects well on him.
On his couch.
I think it looks good for him.
I think he probably sold a lot of books just sitting there on his couch picking up his phone. That's a pretty good day.
Chris and Wellesley, what do you think? Chris!
Yo, sorry, boys.
Go
I didn't
ahead.
Even say my name. Good afternoon, guys, or morning. Hey, look, two quick things. I think this is awesome. I think we're seeing a side of Tom Brady we haven't seen.
Oh, that call went really well. That really did. That was strong. Chris, call us back. In the meantime, we'll go to headlines with McCone, 617-779-0985. I don't know why anybody would have a problem with Tom Brady doing this. I don't know why. If Hardy were here, he'd probably have a reason to be upset with him.
Oh, Hardy just gets upset at the name. He would blame her.
But here's what I do want to know. Is this
to do the interview?
Is this taking any time away from the family? Because this is the offseason of family for Tom Brady.
Well, maybe this is what's going to be different. We're going to get a lot more of these.
This is where I think there is a valid question. We'll get to that coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Another tough test for the Bruins tonight as they take on the Blue Jackets. Columbus comes into this one winners of 7 in a row. Bruins have made a move leading up to this game, though, signing Ryan Donato to a 2-year entry-level deal. However, product expected to be in uniform tonight. He is going to wear number 17. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call coverage beginning at 6:30 on the New England Honda Dealers Boston Bruins Radio Network. Some breaking news in the NBA this morning. The Cavs have announced that Tyronn Lue is stepping away from coaching the team for the time being for health reasons. Associate head coach Larry Drew going to take over. It was a tough night for the Celtics in New Orleans last night. Boston falling 108-89. Anthony Davis, 34 points, 11 rebounds for the Pelicans. Celtics are back at it tomorrow when they take on the Thunder. Patriots have acquired wide receiver and kick return specialist Cordarrelle Patterson from the Raiders. New England sending a fifth-round pick to Oakland and getting a sixth-rounder back in the deal. Cowboys are hosting a couple of Patriots free agents. Tackle Adrian Waddle visiting with the team tonight and tomorrow. Cam Fleming is also set to visit. And former Patriots first-round pick defensive tackle Dominic Easley is re-signing with the Rams on a one-year deal. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by MassachusettsCosmetic.com, offering a huge New Year's special on testosterone replacement therapy and Gaines Wave treatments. Call 877-577-5476. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, here's a fair question for Brady on this. Less time on football, more time on family this offseason, right? Is that true, or is it just less time on football, more time on promoting my book this offseason? Everyone's got time constraints, right? Oh, it's going to be about family. I'm going to commit more to family because they deserve it. But is that really about family, or is that about I need to find some more time to promote my stuff?
How much is she involved in this method thing?
I have no idea.
Book and all that. Because
no
if
idea.
She's part of that, is this part of it, where I am going to be doing what she wants me to do. You see, now my time is going to be her time. If she's in head over heels, and she said she's always trying to save the world, right? She's got her interests, and she travels.
Right, but as someone who wants him to no longer play, she probably would rather he be out there promoting the book than doing football-related stuff.
You think he enjoys this?
I bet.
Bigger question.
She loves that he's looking at other interests and his post-career life than football itself. Based on everything we've heard and
yes.
all the other guys who've spoken to her, and she has tried to convince other players and friends of Tom to get him to give it up.
You asked the question to fans.
There are guys on the record now that talk about it.
You asked the question to fans and our listeners. Does this bug you? Or do you see anything that's different? If that's the case, and you're even asking fans that, what do you think they think inside? Where Bill's like, I want guys that are committed to football, 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 football. Now, I don't know how you could question Tom's commitment, but this is openly outward in your face. I'm going to even do more stuff outside that is not the Patriot brand or not, can't say not the Patriot way, because he is the brand. He helped make the brand, the Patriot way, did Tom. I don't know.
Was there time being spent in off seasons on being a better quarterback in the last 3 or 4 years that is now going to be spent on being a better author by selling more books?
Maybe. And maybe you forced that division, meaning you can't have Alex in the locker room. Oh, and on game day, your little film project there, you're not filming anything in my locker room. Take your little take your little oils and your towels and your tables and go up in your suite and do it, okay? So a lot of people are thinking Alex does that every day up in the suite. And that's a game day thing. It's a game day thing. And if I'm Bill, I wouldn't want cameras in my locker room. It's tough enough getting the Pats.com cameras in there.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. I don't think anyone's complaining about that.
Now Belichick's right on that one. You know? He's like, well, why'd you make him go up there? Because it's game day. Go past these other locker rooms like Seattle's or Miami's, and it's like a freaking nightclub. The music, boom, boom, boom. How do you think? How do you get ready for a game? You have a freaking headache. You know? Bill's doing things his way, and it's the way's worked.
Chris and Wellesley, who dropped off before. Hey, Chris.
Boys, thanks for the cake.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for that. Hey, just a couple of quick points. One, I think this is fantastic what Brady's doing. It's showing finally a human side of him that we haven't seen before. He's having fun. I think he's more relaxed. If his play was interested in stuff he's doing, I would have a problem with it. He threw for 500-plus yards in the Super Bowl, won the league MVP, and he's balancing his life the way he needs to. I disagree you on the piece about, you know, the family and the kids and everything else. It's like, that's part of life. You have children. You played the sport. You know what's involved. I'm interested in hearing what you guys think.
Okay, and I mean, things do change. You know, once you... Yeah, Beetle, you went to Vegas over the weekend. It's not like going back to Vegas when you went 20 years ago, right? Or you just cut it loose. Like, you're a different guy now when you go there. Brady's another year older. He's going to be 41 this year. So these new kids coming in, going to look like babies to him. Look at a baby skin. Put the diaper on that kid. You just wonder. And I go back to that day where the separation occurred, whatever day that was. And remember when he flipped out of McDaniels on that sideline? Seems like something really bugged him that week because he came back that following Saturday and said, I need to apologize publicly again to Josh because that's not the way I talk to him. And that's not the way that I should respect him. Like, that really bugged Brady. It's almost like that was intended to go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
What does that have to do with anything? I'm
lost. Just saying, Brady, he said Brady's looks like he's having fun, like he's relaxed.
Yeah, when he's talking to Mo Rocca over the weekend.
But I think since that point, going back to that point in that week, I think Tom did a good job bearing his emotions when he said that apology to McDaniels that Saturday. And after that, he was fine. And being around him, he was a relaxed, cool as a cucumber guy, and he played well at the end of the year. It didn't affect his play.
What does that have to do with Saturday or Friday talking to the panel?
Because I think he's even more relaxed now. That he's comfortable signing off at Tom versus Time. Like, I'm questioning a lot of things. You know? Man, I'm gonna enjoy the offseason. I'm going to enjoy my family. I didn't enjoy them. And maybe I asked you this. Do you think he enjoys doing these interviews? Because I don't really think he loves doing these things. He gets through them.
No, but what he enjoys is selling books.
Right.
And this is a means to the end.
Right. And she's pushing it, too. I guarantee you it. It's all part of it. She's a big part of it.
Right. Because if she pushes this.
This is her stuff.
He's like, more likely to be doing this full-time than playing football full-time.
Whole Foods, eating the earth, not putting the nitrates, all this stuff in here. You know, it's just...
So if he doesn't like it, if he doesn't like doing the interview, doesn't like getting made fun of, first of all, he doesn't let on to it. Okay, because he comes off as someone who is taking it all in stride. Maybe he doesn't like it. But if he doesn't like it and he doesn't enjoy it, then it tells you how committed he is to the post-football career for TB12. It shows you that he's committed to that and he's working hard at that.
Would it worry you more if he was very into it, invested in it? Because, I mean, I think he practices it, he preaches it, but I think it's still the same answers, the same pushing, and whatever, whether he's on Colbert, whether he's on this, whether he's on GMA with Strahan, it's still the same standard answers across the board. And after you do so many of them, like this is what, the third in a week? After you do 10, you think it's, you know, I've done enough of these. I'm done. And once the OTAs start, that's where we're really going to start. Let's look in on this. Let's see where he's at.
What did T-Bone call Brady's appearance on NPR this morning off the air? How did he phrase it?
I'm trying to remember. He doesn't remember, but something like, this is like, it's almost like a jump the shark of him promoting the book now.
Like lowest.
This is the biggest insult of like, yeah.
Maybe he'll come on with us to talk about it. Get him on, T-Bone. Here, I'll give you his handler's number.
He's going for the big audiences. That's what he's doing, Tom.
He's going for every audience.
He's going for all of them.
I'm going for young people, middle-aged people. I'm going for working people, athletic people. I'm going for old people. You name it. Hey, by the way,
it's a good point, though. It used to be like something like every time Brady did something, we play the audio because he doesn't do stuff very often. But now, are we going to keep doing this every week, multiple times a week?
We played Colbert. We played the NPR. What else have we had?
We played the CBS, the Strahan from GMA.
Strahan on ABC.
That's all in the last 6-7 days. Well, all in the last 6 shows.
We've got 3 so far. I think we will keep playing it.
Yep. I mean, it's the same answer, too. Go buy the book. Go buy the book. It's what he started with McGinnis in August. I thought Willie's going to rip his shirt off him and shove it up his nose. You know? Dare you talk to Willie like that. Go buy the book, Willie. Like, whoa. Same thing. Go buy the book. Check it out.
Hey, there was other stuff that happened in the NFL this past weekend. We'll mix that in coming up in the noontime hour. Nice. Coming up next, Zoe needs to vent because he's upset. He is. I could sense it.
I'm upset.
He's upset that people told him over the weekend that he doesn't watch golf.
Yeah,
and
golf
therefore
trolls.
His opinion on golf is not valued and is not worth a damn.
Yeah, but you'll take my rating. You'll take my rating. Can't wait to see what the ratings in the Arnold Palmer Invitational are when they come out. Just see how that did against the NCAA tournament and all the other stuff that was going on. Should be interesting, considering who was in it at the end. We're going to get into that next.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
Zulak and Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zulak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so what's your problem? What are you upset about?
I'm a fringe golf guy now. So,
according to what? Some random guy on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm like,
or is this more than one person?
Well, Rory McIlroy started bitching over the weekend about how loud the crowds were. See, what's happening now, there's a resurgence with Tiger Woods now. So all the tournaments that Tiger's in, I get more amused watching the shots of the crowd follow Tiger from hole to hole. And to see, you know, just 10 to 20 people stacked deep. Whatever hole he's at, around the hole, and the roars and the cheers, and how it's starting to eat away at these other kids, these robots. You know, the Mazbots, I like to call them. You know, the Spieths, the McIlroys, all these, you take one face, you put on another, you can't tell which one it is. Tell you what, though, Rory looked good yesterday. Nice white pants, white hat, nice shirt, great golf. He looked the best on the course. Tiger's back, folks, and golf is back, and that's a good thing. I start getting, well, you don't like him because you like the steroids? Like, I don't care. It's the same way with baseball. I don't care if you're juicing. I don't. I care if you're in football and you're doing it. You get busted, you're sitting for. Sorry. PEDs. Perfect.
Did you guys talk about this on Friday at all?
We did a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's Arnold's tournament. It's Tiger's thing. And his kids were born in Orlando. And
because he hit the 70-foot putt to take the lead or something, right?
71-footer was gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Hardy was talking about that Friday.
Do you know that?
Thursday. I think that was Thursday, wasn't it?
It was Thursday. Yeah, trust me. I know there are people there, you know, wagering on it and such. And
you know,
when he got out to a bad start, because he didn't start great on Thursday, and you should have seen it already. Like, yeah. The people that had the money on it were like, oh, damn it.
Yep.
And then he hit the putt, and it was bringing people back is what it was doing.
He has the ability to rip off 4 out of 5 birdie holes, you know, in a five-hole stretch now. That's something he hasn't had over the last 4 or 5 years. But now he's starting to putt, which is scary. Putts under 9 feet and under. In this tournament, he was 45 of 45 going into yesterday. And he didn't miss within that range yesterday either. Things fell apart for him on the final 2 holes. Went out of bounds in that, but prior to that, he was 4 strokes off. He played 2 rounds. He scored two holes better than McIlroy did going into hole 15 yesterday. Okay. So McIlroy actually is one of those guys that's going to take his fairways and go par in the final day where Tiger's going to go to make his push.
So
he had 6 birdies before he fell apart, Tiger.
Jim, I saw a text from Jim last night, and I was wondering what your involvement was in this conversation on Friday about how people were now quiet about the fact. How did you phrase it? Tiger had choked one away again?
Or that he Tiger choked again. End. Haven't heard you chirping in a while.
Yeah, Zoe was all over the text all day long, and then all of a sudden it got really quiet.
The tournament was over. What do you mean text? Oh, he lost. The point is,
that goes back to my point.
Me, middle of March
from last week.
Middle of March, I'm sitting there on my couch on a Sunday. Last 4 years, I wouldn't watch any random tournament.
Unless
it was the Masters.
He doesn't have to win.
He doesn't have to win. It's not about him winning.
To win.
And then people are like, "Ah, McIlroy won." I'm like, "No, he's a bitch." Because the other guy's back, and he's starting to get flustered because people are starting to call out his wife's name, and I'm going to go talk
we'll
to that
guy. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Different issue.
Care less.
Well, different issue.
Play through it.
Tiger doesn't have to win. He just has to chase. He just has to be in contention.
It's more exciting.
That you will watch, and this will actually be better for golf in the long run if the chase continues a little bit longer and he keeps falling short, because you will sit there, and I'm not talking about the Masters or the British Open or US, I'm talking about the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which you and I don't give a flying bleep about.
Right.
But all of a sudden, Tiger's
in
contention.
Well, the Valspar.
And yeah, the Valspar.
2 weeks in a row.
So TV ratings up for the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Oh, they were?
They were 3-6 overnight. That, you know what percentage that is from a year ago?
What?
140%. They're up 140. They're not up 10%, 20%, not even 75. No, 140% increase in ratings from last year.
And he probably had a decent rating because he probably played in it because of respect to Palmer. Because he loves Arnold Palmer. Like, Tiger's going to be selective as to what he plays in.
He's chasing, he's man. Made.
You can
he's
tell
chasing.
That the energy's there, the strength's there. He's pissed off when he misses, which tells me he knows he's close to competing. Like, when he would miss shots over the last 3 years, he'd just give the club back and casually walk. Like, he's giving it to, God damn it, damn it. You know,
oh,
and he
yeah,
wants
he dropped the F-bomb for he's, Thursday. He's saw ready, that.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
It was good.
He's ready to snap his club. You know, he's rips his hat off, but then he gets his composure back. But then you watch him go to the next tee, and the people running over. It's just like us down at training camp. Here come the Patriots for autographs. I'm going to run over a little kid. It's like people just pushing up against it just to reach out and touch him. They don't do that for anybody else in golf now. Give me him and Mickelson. Give me that final pair. Just sit there in the second to last group on Masters Sunday. They don't have to be in the last group, but just be there. Be 5 shots off. Be right there because anybody could blow up on any hole there. But he made me sit and watch 2 hours of golf. And I'm not looking at Spieth. I'm like, come on, let's go to Tiger. Let's go to Tiger. I don't care. I don't care what happens to McIlroy. It's this guy. This guy's bringing golf back. Because I think it's important for that sport. Because if you don't have it, if you don't have something to talk about, then hitting how many fairways and greens is in. If you play Jordan Spieth sound post-match and put it up against McIlroy or Dustin Johnson. See, I would know Bubba Watson because at least he's got a little twang to him. Other than that, nobody else is. You can't separate. They're all a group, you know? They showed what the pairings are and what the team is for the Ryder Cup. Of course, you got Spieth there. I think Dustin Johnson's on there. There's 2 other golfers I recognize. I didn't recognize the other 5 names they had on there. And Tiger's guaranteed a trip over because I guess he's assistant. He could be an assistant coach. Stick him in that damn.
And for all the good that Tiger does in getting you to want to watch,
yeah,
you've got guys like Rory McIlroy who will do everything to get you to hate his sport.
Right. Right, the robot.
He's upset.
Yeah, he wants to walk up, hear nothing, hear no birds chirp, hit his thing, get up, pick his ball, get his tee, and let's go. Let's walk.
This is an alarming trend for golf.
This is bad.
As if your sport wasn't soft enough. Now you've got this. He was upset because he had someone who was taunting him in the crowd, heckling him, yelling his wife's name.
My wife's name almost went over.
You know what he thinks?
Almost what? You should do this. You know what, golf? Do this at your tournaments.
He thinks they need to limit alcohol sales on the course.
Do that, golf. Trust me. Do it if you want people to show up.
He says every week it seems like guys are complaining about it more and more, talking about guys on the tour.
Yeah.
Complaining about the fans. He said, I know that people want to come and enjoy themselves. I'm all for that. But when the comments get personal and people get a little bit rowdy, it can be a little bit much.
You think he's a guy who like playing in a Phoenix Waste Management Open where they go crazy out there, bounce houses, let's get crazy.
He says it used to be you bring beers on the course but not liquor, and now it seems like everyone's walking around with a cocktail. So I don't know if it's just go back to people walking around with beers in their hand, that's fine, but I don't know. Oh,
so he's taking the time to look at what they have in their hands.
Oh, poor baby. They said your wife's name. They heckled you.
And they say, hey, Alice.
That's what every professional athlete in just about every sport ever has had to deal with.
It's okay with the beer drinkers. It's like the cocktail drinkers.
Right. Who even says cocktail? Ooh, even that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Put a hand, bring a drink in your hand. Hey, you got a cocktail in your hand? What, do you got a cocktail?
Anything over 10% alcohol. No, not allowed.
What's the ABV on that? Check his ABV.
Maz's boys.
No tall boys either.
Yeah, no tall boys.
Give me a yard. You know what? Give me a yard of Tito's and tonic. Give me a yard of that. Some ice and a straw. How about that, McCone? That get you going to a golf tournament? McCone nods yes.
He said, quote, yes. Golf is different than a football game. There's etiquette involved. You don't want, this is what I also love too, what about the children? You don't want people to be put off from bringing their kids.
You think I drag
people
my
are
kid.
Shouting stuff.
Think I drag my kid to walk 5 miles up and down a hot course? Are you insane?
Then you got Justin Thomas, who we've already discussed on this show, who got the guy thrown out at the Honda Classic.
Get him out of there. He's
There's one thing that
Tigers complained. Tigers complained before, too.
Because Tiger had a guy who would be screaming at him in his backswing.
Yeah.
Which, I, okay.
And then the clicking, click, click, click,
the
click,
camera,
click.
Yeah.
I can kind of see that. But I think your sport is still completely a joke when it comes to, like, mental toughness. Your sport has none of it.
All day I sat
And Tiger gets lauded all the time. Oh, he's mentally tough. He deals with it. Have you ever seen any other sport in this country? Have you ever seen even a baseball game, which is really calm compared to hockey or football, right? Or even a basketball game where, never mind the crowd noise, the doom, doom, shh, like all the crap they play, all the music and chants and all the nonsense that are played at full blast in that sport. All those guys seem to play their sports no problem with all the noise. They seem to get by. They are able to execute and perform their duty as a player no problem. Hockey, basketball, football, those guys, even baseball, some noise every now and again. Those guys don't seem to lose their collective minds.
The Tiger's so
because
bad.
Because someone was there shouting. Yeah. What about the children, Rory? You're right.
Rory.
What about the kids?
Rory.
Oh.
Guy from Ireland complaining about too much alcohol on St. Patrick's Day weekend. Yeah.
That is special.
Sucker.
That is something.
Yeah.
You baby. Yeah. You big crybaby.
Tiger's so bad for the sport. Why are you clamoring to see him? Why isn't anybody booing and heckling him? Why are they all cheering for him? Because they know they need him in
the sport. The stiffness of your sport is something that's in the way already. Your sport is stiff already. It's kind of a problem for the younger generation. They don't like it.
Need more alcohol.
So open it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Have a little fun out there.
Cut the ropes.
Show a little emotion.
Cut the ropes down. Let them walk around.
Why don't you let loose a little like your crowd wants to do, but then you get in the way and start bitching them out and saying you're going to get them kicked out.
Beto, why don't you take your kids to the next golf tournament, those three little suckers. Start them loose out there.
No, they might talk.
Go run around.
They might talk and make noise because, you know, they're kids.
What are we going to do with the kids, Rory?
Oh, you babies.
Oh,
a bunch
God.
Of crybabies in that
bitch.
Sport.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Hardy's on the hotline.
Oh, good.
Hardy. I don't know. Is Hardy mad?
Is he up?
Or is he...
he probably backs
mad?
Everything else.
Oh, good. We'll talk to Hardy after these headlines.
Oh, a little softy.